We'd like to turn back to 2 Kings, the 18th and 19th chapters. And we could read all of this, and it would be very meaningful, but we're going to try to abbreviate it and not read so much material and still get the bulk of the point across. 2 Kings chapter 18. Now, beginning in the 11th verse of 2 Kings 18. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Hala and Habor by the river of Gozan in the city of the Medes. Now remember, we'd already said that Israel had fallen. Israel had been taken into captivity. This was a northern kingdom. So this is just recapping what happened. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. So that is the reason now that they were taken into captivity, is because they didn't obey God. It's as simple or it's as complex as that. They didn't want to hear the commands and they didn't want to do the commands. And you know, today we stress the fact all the time that hearing's not enough. You have to hear, but you also have to do. There's an obedience that must be had. Well, God's had that principle all along. That's no new principle. And as proof of it, this whole nation was carried away into captivity when it was some 200 years old, about the same age as our nation. Now as we look on to the kingdom of the south, though, Judah, this is our subject that we're discussing tonight. The same army that captured the kingdom of the north is closing in on the kingdom of the south. Now in the 14th year, verse 13, of Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. You know, we named a while ago 46 fenced cities, or walled cities. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, that's where he was presently located when this happened, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. Now what Hezekiah tried to do, he tried to appease the king of Assyria, this Sennacherib. He tried to say, well, oh, I'm sorry we've offended you. You just lay on us whatever charge you want to lay on us. Any kind of duty or taxation, put it on us and we'll take care of it. We'll pay for it. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. So he tried to appease him. He tried to pay him off. But of course that didn't work at all. Whenever he got around to it, he still was going to go and take Judah. So this king of Assyria, he sent his servant down there to talk to Hezekiah and to tell him just exactly what he wanted to do. And that's what the remainder of this 18th chapter is about. And so when he got down there and he called out some of Hezekiah's chief men, and he was talking to them out there at the edge of the city, and they told this man from Assyria, they said, don't speak in the Hebrew language. Don't speak in the language of the Jews so those men up there on the wall can't hear you. You talk to us in the language of the Syrians, we can understand you. They didn't want this message to be spread and panic all the people. But the messenger said, well, we haven't come just to talk to you. We've come to talk to everybody. So they spoke in plain language where the Jews could hear. And it said, those men sitting up there on the wall who are going to soon be eating their own excrement and drinking their own urine, they're going to hear too. So as we begin now in verse 28, then Rabshakeh, that's the man sent from Assyria, that's the man sent by the king Sennacherib, Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Now, you know, this sounds a little bit to me like some of the language that we hear of back in World War II, whenever Tokyo Rose, you know, was broadcasting. and saying, well, you don't have a chance to win. There's no way you can gain the victory. You might as well give up now. You know, your wives and your families are all wanting you to come back and just make this war shorter. And Axis Sally was doing the same thing. This is propaganda. Well, this is what this man was saying. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. So don't let him fool you into thinking that the Lord's going to help you either. That's a false premise. This is a doctrine now that they were spreading. They were saying it in the Jewish language so that all could hear that Assyria is going to take this city. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, and a land of olive oil and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken not to Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. So you can see how he was undermining the only weapon that Hezekiah had, and that was to trust in the Lord. And so this king, he knew what he was doing. He was blaspheming the doctrine of the Lord. And so he goes on and reasons like this in verse 33. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? So just look at these other nations that we've conquered now. Have their gods helped them? Did they save them from Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Well, Samaria had just fallen a few years before this. Did they help Samaria any? And of course, Samaria was depending on some false gods too, you know. Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Just what God has been able to stand up against me? No country has had a God that can stand up against me. What makes you think the Lord's going to do this? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. So then the king's servants went in and told him. They went and told Hezekiah what had been said. So beginning in chapter 19, and it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Now Hezekiah was visibly upset about this. He tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. He really didn't have anything else that he could do at this time. Well, as we go on down in chapter 19, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah, of course, was the prophet, the same prophet we're studying from tonight. So they came to Isaiah, and they presented the proposition to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Now this was blasphemy that this king of Assyria gave. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Now that's the prophecy that Isaiah gives about the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. I will send a blast upon him. Now this blast could be like a fungus that attacks corn, you know, and ruins it. But what we know it to be is that, or what I think it to be is whenever those 185,000 of his men suddenly died overnight. This caused him to turn around. He heard a rumor. That is, he heard some message that caused him to turn around and go back to Assyria. And when he went back, there's where he died. So this prophecy in verse 8 says, I will send a blast upon him, he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Now in verse 8, we're going to have the message that Sennacherib sends to Hezekiah. Now he sends him another message. Well, let's go on down here to verse 10. Thus shall you say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. Now, even after Isaiah the prophet came and assured Hezekiah again, Sennacherib sends another message down and said, don't let your God deceive you now that you're going to be saved out of this hands of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Now, in view of what's happened, Hezekiah, just look at history. You think you're going to be delivered when this same nation that has destroyed all of these other lands comes upon you, the little country of Judea? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezpah and the children of Eden, which were of the Telstar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Seraphim and of Hinea and Iva? Well, that's the message that Sennacherib sent down to Hezekiah. And verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now here's what Hezekiah did when he got this message. He went into the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord, and now we're going to have Hezekiah's prayer. And notice the fervence and the truth that is found in this prayer of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, that would be there in the Ark of the Covenant at the mercy seat, you know. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Hezekiah had a tremendous amount of insight here. He said, God, you're the God of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. We know you're not limited just to Israel or Judah. You're the God of all the kingdoms. So if anybody possibly can stop this thing, if anybody can change the course of this military onslaught, surely, God, you can. So he says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and they have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand, that all of the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. So here was the reasoning now of Hezekiah. He says, I know, Hezekiah, Lord, that he did destroy these other gods. Well, they're made out of wood and stone. They're not really gods. That's why he was able to overthrow them, but not you. He'll not be able to do that to you. So I beseech you, save us out of his hand. Well, then, Isaiah, beginning in verse 20, he comes back and gives a message to Hezekiah, giving him encouragement. We won't read all of Isaiah's message, but going on down to the 30th verse, he says this, and the remnant, this is 2 Kings 19, verse 30, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah, shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. We have this remnant spoken of numerous times. That is, that remnant, the little bit that's left, they're going to take root downward and send fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Now let's get down more specifically. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. Now here is the words, and we have in Isaiah, this city's fallen, that city's fallen, this city's fled, he's gone through the pass, he's got his church stored here, he's right down to Nob. But the prophet said he's not going to come into this city, he's not going to shoot an arrow into it, he's not going to raise a sword up against it, and he's not going to build a bank up against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. I'm going to save it for my own purpose. I've got a purpose for this city. And of course that purpose was the remnant, as you know. And also, it wasn't God's will that Assyria take them into captivity at this time, but it was his will for Babylonia to do it a little later. And it came to pass that night, verse 35, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, that'd be 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezer, his son, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So there we have the story given from the other side, given from Jerusalem's side, Judea's side. Hezekiah was frantic. He had all kinds of threats. He paid tribute. And finally, his last resort was to spread it out before God and to pray to God, don't let him take us. Save us from him. And the Lord said he would, and he did. So now we go back to Isaiah.